It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast, and we are flying the W. After a win over the Astros, Luke Stuckmeyer, Cody Delmendo, and the live YouTube chat is up and running. Best way to enjoy the CHGO experience is to subscribe to the CHGO Sports YouTube page. Make sure you don't miss any shows. Get in on the live chat. Watch Cody do a beer bat chug. Has it been poured yet? Warming up a little bit?
It's in the glass.
It's on deck. It's ready to go. Cody's ready to roll. Good time to catch the Astros. They are struggling. Everybody thought they'd be a good team this year. And
More than just a good team. We're talking about World Series contenders. Yeah.
They're off to a horrible start. And speaking of starts, the Cubs got a good one from Jordan Wicks tonight. In fact, a quality start. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Mike Tauchman. The Cody Bellinger injury, and what's coming up ahead here in this series. Hopefully, Ryan Herrera will be able to join us live from Wrigley Field at some point in the show. Hit the like button on the way in, hit the like button on the way out. But first, let's start with Jordan Wicks, Cody. Listen, you're looking for him to go long. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. Give us a longer start. You don't want to see the bullpen for half the game. Six innings, two earned runs, four strikeouts, no walks. No walks is key.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good tonight. Efficient.
Yeah.
He got a lot of quick outs. I thought his fifth inning was most impressive, considering it was the third time through the order, and he went through the Astros' heart of the lineup of, Tucker. He struck out Tucker, got... whoever was up after that to Bregman. He got Tucker to strike out on a really nasty pitch in the dirt. Then Bregman grounded out to Swanson on a 3-1 pitch.
The Tucker one was a horrible swing.
And then whoever hit third in that inning ended up flying out to Tauchman for a 1-2-3 inning. And like that was the most impressive, because he struggled to not only get through six, but even five innings. Tonight, the pitch count was low, and the third time through the order was a lot better. Honestly, I would have liked to seen him go out there for another inning, because he had the bottom of the order coming up for the seventh. And, Craig Counsell went to Ben Brown instead, and that's fine. Bullpen's fresh with the off day, but it definitely encouraging to see that from Jordan Wicks, a guy who... again, I think we feel good about him. We felt good about him all season. We've referenced the start against the Dodgers earlier this year, going up against that lineup and doing as well as he did, but he just wasn't efficient enough, and that's why he wasn't able to go deep. Tonight he was efficient, got a bunch of quick outs while also, inducing a lot of weak contact. Got Alvarez to pop up the third time he's seen him, and I was scared the hell out in that at bat, considering it felt like the Astros were on the brink of making a comeback, because the Cubs couldn't get anything going on offense after the first inning, but got him to pop out after the Altuve hit the inning before. So the fourth and fifth inning were really impressive to me, because he went through the heart of the Astros lineup, and with the wind blowing out and the fact that the Astros have been really good against lefties this year,
The defense wasn't great in center field tonight. Bellinger struggled a little bit out there, and mm-hmm. I mean, six innings, two runs, I'd call it six innings, one run if I'm really evaluating how he pitched in the game.
Right.
And just a quick thing on Bellinger before you guys get. X-ray's negative. He's sore. Cubs will see how he feels tomorrow. Right rib contusion.
Right. It's a bruise.
Negative
X-ray.
It's
not an oblique.
Though. Right.
So.
And after running into the wall.
Yeah, I mean.
Bumping into the wall.
I guess
and,
that's
and
best
the ivy,
scenario.
Which isn't as soft as you'd think it'd be.
Right. Well, the ivy's not fully out there.
Yeah, but even then, like, you go ahead and run into a bush, see how that feels. You know, not that great.
Right.
I saw somebody earlier in the chat saying they believe 10 seconds or under should be considered a quality chug, as in quality start.
Like a quality start.
I would say, honestly, 12 and under, which would put you at a quality chug every time this season.
Yeah.
Maybe we knock it down to 11, but 10 is pretty impressive. There haven't been that many 10 and unders.
Yeah, I mean, we should let, you know, because we don't want the facts get in the way of a good story. We should just let the guy who created the Twitter account decide.
Okay, that's
I'm
fair
okay
by me.
With that.
Let him decide.
The Cody Beerbat account, yeah.
Barb's calling 11-7. Becky, 10-8. DFW Susie says 9-9. Craig, 9-6-9. Nice. Anybody else in there? Nine is a quality
Michael
chug,
Evans
says Tyler. Anything under is legit.
Michael Evans says four seconds.
I think you've been under 11 seconds every time I produce you guys this year. So
he's definitely under been under 12 every
no
time.
Pressure. Yeah.
Ron's calling for a 7-2.
Ooh.
Wow. Brandon Bong, 10-3-9. All right, let's see how this goes. Where's the dedication going to go? I'm curious here because you could go with, you know, the man who's having the spring of the spring.
Yeah, I mean, I got to come up with a new phrase for the year. I don't want to use the same phrase again. Because first off, like, he's proven to be more than just a guy who hits in the summer and is having a random year, you know. Like, because that was kind of how the bit started, was the fact that, like, the Cubs picked this guy up out of Korea. No one knew who he was.
We're
talking about Mike Tauchman.
Yes.
Yeah, we're talking about Mike Tauchman. This guy, like that was kind of how the bit started.
How about the tale of Mike Tauchman? The tale of Tauchman.
Like the story.
Yeah, like the story of Tauchman.
The story of Tauchman. Oh, I do like that. I would give you all the credit for that one, but yeah, I don't know. I
the tale of Mike Tauchman.
It'll be the next book going right there, next to the Chicago Cubs.
The Tauchman tales,
right on the
Tauchman tales. Oh, I like
file it in the Tauchman tales.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, the dedication goes to Tauchman because even though Jordan Wicks was great, got to score runs, man, and the wind was blowing out tonight, and he hit two out. Oppo tacos. I think JD said that on the broadcast.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Here we go. Beer Bat Chug. Kevin, you're the official timer right there on the screen.
I'm ready to go.
As soon as it hits his lips, you ready? And begin. Cody has started chugging his Blue Moon Beer Bat. He's halfway through. He's now down to the barrel of the bat. Maybe three more swigs and gone. 10-7-4. 10-7-4. So I think most people say, well, under nine, let the shirt get drip. Yeah. I think most people would call that a quality chug.
Yeah.
Quality chug. That's a quality win. It's a quality start. It's a quality chug. We'll take all three.
Anyway, yeah, I mean.
Smooth. Much smoother than last year.
Well, it takes a lot of practice, man. Our friends over at Cubs on Tap, we've had Ron Luce on the show. Mm-hmm. I saw our friends at Cubs on Tap on Saturday tweet a video of some guy chugging a beer out of the bat in the bleachers. And I got to say, like, I felt good about myself watching him do it because it took him
a struggled.
While.
Yeah, he struggled.
Yeah. And I don't know if he did it from the brim of the bat, like at the very top or not.
Yeah.
Like, I quite literally tell people, like, I just pour a 12-ounce beer in here. I'm not, like, this bat, I think, holds, like, 20 ounces or something.
Right.
And I don't want to do that. So, this is, you know, I don't know if he did that or if he is just, like, you know, kind of like what I do. But it made me feel good about the fact that I can do it in, like, 10 seconds, I guess. But
talk
it
up.
We're striving for, you know, 8-7 seconds as we move along in the season.
How about you do a 20-ounce chug in the game that the Cubs win to clinch a playoff spot?
Ooh. Yeah, we could do something special.
Or if they score 20 runs.
Like, yeah. Something like that, we can do that.
20.
Got to make the playoffs.
They had a couple. They had
win
one
a playoff series. You win a playoff series, I'll do like multiple beer bets in a in a post game or whatever. I'll probably be losing my mind anyway. And, you know, we'll have to do it. And, you know, we'll be able to. We'll just be hoping that I can sit on set. But anyway,
Cubs win 7-2, beat the Astros. Jordan Wicks, 6 innings, 2 earned runs. And our friends at Bleacher Nation tweeted out, the Astros this season been the third best offense against lefties in baseball with a slash line of 277, 355, 434. So it's, again, impressive stuff. I just know that that changeup is a weapon.
Yeah. Yeah.
A weapon.
He got Pitching Ninja's attention tonight once again, which is always fun. It's always fun when Pitching Ninja gives you that publicity. He shared one video of him using this changeup to get someone swinging, and the pitch was nowhere close to the strike zone. That's always going to be his thing. There's a reason when he was drafted that people were like, this guy could be like Kyle Hendricks. And some people looked at it in a negative way because they just wanted someone who could throw 100 miles per hour, which would love to have that in the starting rotation. However,
right, but there's more of that type of stuff coming. So, again, right. I like different styles of pitchers.
Right. So, I think with him, you know, he does throw harder than Kyle Hendricks, though, too. Like, he touched 94 tonight. I don't know if he touched 95, but I know he hit 94 pretty consistently. So, you know, there is some, you know, as far as velocity and everything, there are things about him that are different from Kyle Hendricks. But the reason that he gets compared to Kyle Hendricks is that his changeup is his best pitch.
Right.
So, yeah, man, it's just another step in the process of the growth, man. And, like, as much as I wanted this team to be, like, a real World Series contender this year, I'm all, like, there is a small part of me that's like, I also want to see some of these young guys take steps forward and find out if they can be part of this team when they are ready to be, you know, ready to take that next step. And Jordan Wicks will be a part of that. He is, you know, he's going to be here a while, right? You know, so if he pitches like he keeps pitching, then he's going to be part of the next great Cubs team. And again, like I said earlier before the beer bet, you know, he hadn't been efficient. You know, he hadn't been able to go deeper into games. Tonight, 6 innings. I would love more 6-inning outings from Jordan Wicks.
I would take him too, and I also would take Mike Tauchman as my fourth outfielder.
Oh, my God.
Man, you did the bid on it, but what a find.
Yeah.
What a find he's been. Find me a better fourth outfielder in baseball right now. He's the perfect fit.
Yeah.
We talked about it the one time he was coming up. And we said, well, you know, even he works the count, just like we've been saying about Michael Bush too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with Tauchman,
good at bats, good defense.
With Tauchman again, the bit was started because he came from Korea and he hadn't had like any year that stuck out in the majors except for like 2019 with the Yankees.
He'd had some success.
Right, but, like, again, they signed him going into last season, so it had been, like, 3 or 4 years since 2019, you know, and, you know, it got so bad to where he had to go to Korea and play, you know, and, you know, the Cubs pick him up, and he's been a nice addition. Like, for a fourth outfielder?
Mid-Suburban League comes through again.
Yeah.
Where greatness begins.
And the biggest thing that I haven't mentioned related to him is that he's stepping in Seiya's role in a way. He's not bringing you the power and, like, he's not as good as Seiya, but he's playing corner outfield and he's giving you productive at-bats. You know what I mean? As far as the run producing and the power and all that, they obviously, you know, Cody Bellinger provided that tonight early on, and, you know, he had one of his nights tonight. He's not going to hit two. He's not going to have a lot of 2 home run games. I would probably, if I could bet it on Circa, I would probably bet that he's not going to have another 2 home run game this year. But
don't bet against Mike Tauchman.
I could see him having, you know,
no.
I could see Tauchman hitting 10, 15 homers this year.
And as a fellow Arlington Heights homeowner, I'm curious what he thinks about the Bears asking for $3 billion tomorrow for a stadium in Chicago.
Well, for him, well, money we'll
see.
Ain't nothing.
We'll see. They're going to end up in early tonight, so you watch. So, I mean, Talkman's been great. Wicks was – that was his best outing of the season.
Yeah. Was that the best outing that a Cubs starters had all year?
It was just a nice win. It was a nice, comfortable win, other than, you know,
I think a it couple was. Plays. I think that was the best start they've gotten. Granted, they haven't had Steele, so it would be a different conversation, but I'm trying to think of a better start that they've gotten from that rotation. Ben Brown had a couple, but
– Shota's had some nice starts. It's up there. It's in the conversation.
Yeah, Shota had that 8 strikeout.
It's in the
game.
Conversation for sure.
It was against the Rockies, but still, you know, it
but
is major
this,
league
to
debut.
Me, again, this has to be 6 innings, 1 run.
Yeah. That's why I said yesterday when we were talking about Hendricks' outing, like, you know, Swanson's got to get – he should have been charged an error for that double play that he airmailed that ball, right?
Right.
And tonight – Bellinger, you know, I don't know how he loses the ball. It was a night game. So what is he getting it lost in the lights? Is it the sky? I don't know. It's very unlike Bellinger to lose that ball. And then he basically lost it. I wouldn't say he lost it again, but that was definitely more of an error to me that he didn't catch that ball. I mean, it hit the glove. You know, I think that got one.
He probably should have made both plays.
Right. For his standards.
Yes.
For Cody Bellinger's standards. All right. Probably. And I'm not going to be too hard on him because he has been very good
Talkman
out there.
Talkman did have one, too, where it was kind of like, I mean, I know it was the wind was swirling out there, so it wasn't super easy. It looked like Bellinger may have lost it in the twilight or something. I don't know what
that's
was
what I'm
going.
Saying. Like, maybe he lost it in the lights, you know? Like, I just
it's been
know,
a bit of an adventure defensively for the team.
Right. It needs to be better, man.
Morrell was better, though.
Morrell did have nice plays
to be
at
better.
Third tonight.
Yeah.
And he had 2 walks tonight. All again, though, the defense, it has to be better, man. It just has to. This team is built on defense. It has to be better. Good news, Swanson didn't piss me off in terms of his defense tonight, so thank you.
Cody's going to tell us about our friends at Circa. Tyler in the live chat's asking if I went to Barrington or Hersey. No, I'm a prospect guy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, prospect, they put him up on the big board, class of 2024. Today at Wrigley. They were out celebrating, So shout out to the
credit
the Knights.
To them.
Shout out to the Knights.
Credit
so
to
they
them.
Were giving
those are our colors, too. Navy and powder blue. Yes.
I did it just for you.
Well, I figured
don't
that.
Let the facts get in the way of a good story.
I figured.
You they did that, and then they had it was UIC night, I assume.
Yeah, I mean, they should have had the prospect kids up there singing.
Let's see your class ring. You got your class ring? Let's see it.
I did not get a class ring.
Neither did I.
No.
Yeah.
There was no class ring.
Letterman jacket?
Back then, we got pennants, and that was about it. You get a pennant you can hang on your wall.
Anyway, I lost all my bets tonight. We score 7 runs. I still lose all my bets. I don't understand.
Bounce back tomorrow.
We get back on the grind tomorrow on Circa. But, you know, the reason that I always go to Circa is because of their tight money line splits. You know, games strive to be -110 split on the Circa Sports menu, unlike other sports books, which may use -115 or -120. Circa Sports keeps as little money as possible on large market bets, especially compared to other books. At Friday 120 Club, our me and Braggs' play of the day that day was AJ Puck under 4.5 strikeouts, and on Circa, it was at +115. On other books, it was not nearly as good of odds. So I'm just saying, Circa has some of the best odds, in my opinion. You know, another reason, that all said, they actually encourage you to look at other sports betting apps to compare the lines and just see how good Circa's odds are. So, you know, that's one of the big things that they really push. So, and then finally, the chatbots. They don't use chatbots. I actually had an issue with my account over the weekend, and I emailed them, and they fixed my issue.
Boom.
Before, you know, the next day. So, it's really easy. You didn't
talk to a real person.
You talk to a real person via email, and that's it. Like, it's super fast, super easy. You can't complain about the customer service. All aspects of the app are being run by the same team that runs the main Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. So, guys, download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER, text GAMB to 833-234, or visit arguablywinning.com.
Get ready for some Lucy nicotine, made for your nicotine routine and delivered straight to your door. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free. Choose your form, pouches, breakers, or gum, and then choose your strength, 2 milligrams to 12 milligrams, and they have a plethora of flavors, mint, apple ice, espresso, mango, and more. And you can save yourself from that weekly gas station stop, too, and just sign up for a monthly subscription, and you'll also save 15% off by doing it. No commitment, just cancel anytime. Now, Lucy Breakers, those are nicotine pouches, but with a tiny little capsule inside. The capsule contains liquid flavor that saturates the pouch before it's even in use. You break it in your teeth, get it situated, and boom, instant nicotine release when you need it. Now, my buddies like it for a midday slump at the golf course, sometimes after their coffee. How about this customer review? This is a real review from a real customer. Best nicotine pouches I've found. Feel and taste great. Couldn't be happier with my monthly subscription, end quote. So let's level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/CHGOCubs and use the promo code CHGOCubs to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and CHGOCubs to get your 20% off and always free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right, guys.
I'm losing
big it. News. Big news, what by the way. We just surpassed 1,500 followers on Instagram.
Wow, all right.
Shout out. If you're watching or listening, shout out to you. Anyway, and if you don't follow, go follow us.
I'm losing it.
I like do some like video stuff that I don't ever show on Twitter. So if you're into that, you know. Instagram,
by the way,
it's where to go.
This segment is sponsored by Pork Power. People who are active need more protein than the average American. In fact, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics and Dietitians of Canada and American College of Sports Medicine recommend 1.2 to 2.0 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day for athletes, depending on training. For a 150-pound person, that's 81 to 136 grams of protein per day. 1 3-ounce serving of pork provides 23 grams of high-quality protein that can help active individuals build and preserve muscle. The International Society of Sports Nutrition recommends that people who are involved in a general fitness program or interested in optimizing their health eat low-fat, high-quality sources of protein, which include lean cuts of pork. Elevate your protein program with Lean Pork, a powerhouse of natural goodness. Savor the flavor, savor the gains, and celebrate any occasion by enjoying the best pork produced by Illinois pig farmers. From your sausage and bacon for breakfast to pulled pork, oh yes, or juicy chops hot off the grill. Say more. It's an entire season dedicated to pork and the people behind the product, paid for by the Illinois pork producers. Generations of commitment. Power of pork? I say the power of pitching. That's what the Cubs have been missing. Just like today, they were trying to get Jordan Wicks to go six innings. They got that. Kyle Hendricks has been struggling. He is now headed to the 15-day injured list with a back injury. That was the pregame news this morning. Drew Smyly to the injured list with a hip impingement. Garrett Cooper DFA'd by the team. So you saw Mervis up for the Cubs and DHing today. Might be seeing him DH tomorrow. Hayden Wisniewski back up with the team, and Luke Little back up with the team. Here's the deal. We talked a lot in pregame, if you didn't see it, about Kyle Hendricks and how this is being handled. It's the right path. Now, you can debate whether it's the right timing or not. You're not DFAing the guy. He's making $16.5 million. You're trying to get him right because you still think he can be productive and be in the rotation at some point later in the season. He's always bad in the spring. He's still throwing as hard as he doesn't throw hard. He's never thrown hard. He's still throwing as hard right now as he was in 2016. So it's about command. It's about confidence. It's about his mental approach. He's going to work on those things. And he said that this lower back injury actually, according to him, started up, and the Cubs started up in the bullpen before Sunday's game continued, started to bother him, and then he said afterwards he told the Cubs about it.
I mean, I still,
I say don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. Whatever they are, this is the right way to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, again, and we said this in pregame, you know, I would have given him one or two more, but, you know, this is fine, too.
I wouldn't have been surprised if they gave him one or two more.
Right. But I'm also okay that they did this. I really didn't have an opinion. I just wish we weren't going through this, you know? Yeah. But I am okay with the fact that they went ahead and did this, and we'll see if things change. You believe that he's going to be back.
I believe he'll still be a factor on this team before the season is over. And I don't mean a factor in he didn't pitch well for five starts.
Yeah.
I believe he's going to win games for the Cubs before the season's over.
All right.
Now, he may not live up to $16.5 million, but it's the gamble the Cubs made, and that's the way they're going. And I think anybody who's – I'm not telling you how to Cub, but if you're a Cubs fan, you got to think highly of Kyle Hendricks at some point in his career.
Well,
how could you not?
Well, I still say that the best-case scenario is that they get him right because they they need the pitching depth, you know, like – who's to say that, you know, knock on all the wood, you know, another injury happens? I mean, Cody Bellinger barely runs into a wall tonight, at least that's what it looks like on television, but I'm sure that's not what actually happened, but whatever. You know, this team has been riddled by injuries, man. All it takes is one or two bad injuries, and you're like, man, if only Hendricks was healthy, you know? I know that we're going to see Cade Horton eventually, but you don't want to call him up because you need a guy to pitch innings. You want to call him up to help spark the team and not be under a bunch of pressure to perform. So, to me, best case scenario still is getting him right, getting him back on the roster, and seeing what happens.
And getting him to be your fourth or fifth starter.
Yes.
Stop thinking about expectations of 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
That's not where he's at, and I agree with Sean Caselli. He'll get another chance, and I highly doubt this is the last time you see Kyle Hendricks in a Cubs uniform. Highly doubt it.
That all said, interesting tonight, Ben Brown out of the bullpen again.
Mm-hmm.
One inning, in the seventh? At first, I thought it was going to be a multi-inning outing for him, but it was just one. I think it's telling. I think it's telling that Wesneski is going to be in the rotation. So, I'm interested to see how it happens. I hope he does well. I want him to do well because I remember whenever they made the trade for him, everyone was pissed that we sent Scott Efros to the Yankees, and then he had that incredible September of 2022. Mm-hmm. But then last year, came back down to earth, had some highs, had some lows, but mainly lows. Couldn't get lefties out. That was his rookie year, though. Sophomore year. How do you improve? How do you get better? It's like the same thing with me related to Jordan Wicks. I want to see some of the young guys find a way to get their way on the roster and stay here. That is the best case scenario for a lot of players on this team and the future of this organization. Not just because everyone's theories about how ownership doesn't want to spend, but you need some of these guys to pan out, or we're going to be rebuilding forever, you know? So that's the interesting thing about this scenario now. They have to play like 16 straight games or whatever. I assume Wesneski's going to get a start.
16 games, yeah.
You know? I assume Wesneski is going to get a start, and you know Smiley's headed to the injured list too. So, who else is there? If you use Ben Brown out of the bullpen tonight,
You may have some piggyback work going on, but
so
I agree. Yeah. I like seeing Mervis get another shot. I like seeing Wesneski get a shot. I like seeing Luke Little get a shot, and I liked what I saw for the most part out of the bullpen today. I like Brown. I like Brown in the bullpen a lot.
Yeah.
El Monte was pretty good.
Yep. He was good. He came in for Leiter in that eighth inning with two guys on.
Did a nice job. People wanted to DFA him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And
Then the long season.
And then in the ninth inning, it was smooth sailing. Now, it was 7-2, whatever. Not high leverage, sure. But, again, you want to see some of these guys who have been kind of rocky. You want to see them do this. That will build their confidence. That will make you feel, as a fan, a lot more confident in them going forward. So tonight was a great night in terms of building confidence for about every player on the roster. Shit. Even Swanson kind of had a better night at the plate than he has been in recent weeks. He had a walk and a hit.
And for all of you that want the Kopech trade, just know that he gave up a home run and they lost again.
Yeah, no thanks. Magical. Who started that rumor? Did you start that? You wanted Kopech? Who started that? I don't want Kopech.
Want Kopech?
Absolutely not. No. Okay. He's damaged goods. No thanks.
Well, everything that comes from the White Sox is damaged goods. Damaged goods. But we talk around the office, you know.
We do chat. The Sox guy's going to have something to talk about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, my point was that people have wanted to DFA Almonte. Now he's been productive, right?
Yeah.
People want to DF Hendricks. We'll see. I still think he'll be productive. Who was another guy they wanted to DF early in the season? Who was the other player? People were dogging him, and it was like he bounced back right away, and it was like, okay. Everybody simmer down.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I can't remember.
Could probably put that on any pitcher except for Justin Steele in this organization right now. People are going to want him DFA'd. I mean, it's
Jose
the first
Quas?
Month. Yes.
No,
they sent him to Iowa.
They got what they wanted.
And Quas. I already admitted that I was probably wrong on
Quas,
that.
Quas is going to get another shot. He'll be back.
He will eventually, probably. He did pitch a clean ninth inning the other
Jed
day.
Jed loves his pitching. He's not going to get rid of these guys for nothing.
We were very quick. All of us, I think, to say Morel is a total disaster at third, and he was early on.
He made some nice plays tonight.
But knock on wood, he's been serviceable over at third right now, at the very least. Now if he can get his bat going again.
I feel like you can tell the difference in his footwork. Mm-hmm. Like, he fields it, and then I feel like he is just making those routine plays. I think if you're watching as a fan, you feel significantly different in recent weeks watching him just actually make the play, not take away like your anxiety of him like airmailing the throw or whatever, just watching him not only field it but then make the throw. Like, his footwork looks different to me, so I don't know. But tonight he had some nice plays that weren't necessarily, I would say they were routine, but they weren't like easy at the same time, and he made accurate throws to Michael Busch.
It's getting smoother. It's still a little chunky, the arm going all the way back, but you know, you'll take it. He's got a strong arm. If he wants to take an extra half second, he's still going to throw guys out.
Now, if you want to criticize some, there was, I think it was you pointed it out, Kevin, actually, credit to you, on the couch when we were watching. I think it was an Altuve ground ball to the third base between third and short that Morel let go by that Swanson just missed, and it ended up being a hit for Altuve, and we watched a replay, and it looked like one of those that maybe Morel should have got.
He would have been able to snag it on the short hop,
right.
Yes.
So he didn't, in that particular moment, he didn't, read that correctly. But
And that could have been Dansby, too, saying, hey, let it go through, I'll make the play. And in which case, Morel, you're going to lay down every time Dansby tells you to do something.
Sure.
So I mean, you're gonna get out of the way, but either way, yes, that is Morel's ball. That could be a communication thing, we don't know. But yes, I would have liked to seen him cut that off. It would have been an out.
Sure.
Hopefully Ryan's gonna be able to join us from the ballpark. We got a lot to ask him, a lot to find out about what these moves mean. I wanna hear exactly what was said about Bellinger. We've heard the reports again, X-ray's good, so that's a positive piece of information. But I mean, how many more injuries are they going to be able to withstand to major players?
Yeah.
If he would miss any kind of significant time, that's why when I first looked at him, I'm like, is that, please tell me that's not an oblique. Right. Yeah. Which it's not, it's a contusion. But if it was an oblique, it was like, you're going to lose Saya. You're going to lose Bellinger. You're going to lose Steele. You're going to lose Tyone. Like, Merriweather, how many of their better players can you afford to lose early in the season? One of the tougher parts of their schedule. Right now, they're hanging in.
Yeah.
They're hanging in there. picked up some ground on the division today.
Yep. Brewers lost, so you pick up a game on them. Last I checked, the Cardinals were losing 14-1. So, you know, they're going to lose again. But, you know, Brewers lost to Pittsburgh, so Pittsburgh picks up a game. But, yeah, I mean, you're 14-9. And, again, like, as we've said, we said on the off day, we've said on other shows, like, yeah, they should have four more wins probably. But, you know, you can't ignore the fact that this team has dealt with injuries and stuff, and you're still right here, 14-9. And I wouldn't be surprised if they sit Bellinger tomorrow just for precautionary reasons, which –
Well, I'm okay with Talkman in center.
Yeah, I mean, if Talkman's going to hit way like he's this,
playing,
yeah.
Gets Canario another starting left.
Yeah, sure. You know, and I know Canario's kind of it's been a all or nothing thing. It feels like with him, like he hit that homer on Saturday night, but he's also struck out probably more than we would like to see. And I think a large part of it is just, you know, the adjustment period of going from AAA to major leagues. And you know, he might be pressing a little bit, trying to impress, all these things. I don't know what's going on in the kid's head. But, again, not even 50 plate appearances at the major league level. And it's like I said with Jordan Wicks. It's like I said with anyone else. Wesneski, this is from a position player reason. Like, the guy was part of a major trade. He was part of the Chris Bryant trade. I want to see if this guy – I want a question answered. I want to know if this guy is going to be part of this team in the future or not. And so – you know, he's getting an opportunity most likely, you know, more often than not moving forward. And, you know, same thing with Mervis. Mervis wasn't very impressive tonight. And I know people want to, you know, the leash will be shorter with Mervis because the 100 plate appearances last year. But, you know, they DFA'd Garrett Cooper for a reason, you know. So
it's one night.
Yeah.
And I know, and you talk about answering questions. A lot of times Cody will say to me, Stuck, where do you take your dry clean? What do you do with that?
Where do you take it?
And I say, Cody, there's only one place to go.
Only one place.
CD One Price Cleaners. They've got low prices. Customers save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching to CD One Price Cleaners. Simple, transparent service. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have upcharges and you might have to pay a different price for each time you visit. At CD One Price Cleaners, one low price, any garment. Yep, even those Cubs jerseys, one low price. Fast turnaround. CD One Price Cleaners has your order ready to go same or next day. So if you get your Talkman jersey dirty tonight, take it there. You're ready to go for the next game. Other cleaners take 2 to 4 days to have your clean garments ready, and they send you a text alert when it's all done, too. CD One Price Cleaners sends you that text. It says, come on and get it. It's here for you. And they have a wide variety of services, whether it's dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blankets, comforters, tailoring, alterations, leather cleaning, area rug cleaning. Visit chgo.cd1, that's O-N-E.com. Link in the description. Once you're there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery coupon options. And folks, you can drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing their best offers of the year. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you're always able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find the perfect tailgate vehicle. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 of them available. You heard me, 0% financing for 72 months. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles right now under 20 grand. Seriously, where can you find more affordable prices? The answer is nowhere. Get a free oil change and Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake. All you have to do, mention us, CHGO, four important letters, CHGO. Free oil change. All you got to do is mention us, CHGO, when scheduling that oil change. Start off this season right. Schedule it by April 30th. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads. Still no word from Ryan yet, right?
No, a little bit more on Cody Bellinger.
Okay, yep.
He was joking post-game. He says he feels fine. And he made the classic dad joke, we're going to have to check on the wall to see if the wall's okay first and then be careful around it next time. So he seems to be all right. That's good.
A dad and hit a home run on his daughter's birthday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, his daughter's birthday today. So
that was a moonshot, by the way.
I love watching him swing the bat, man.
But as soon as that pitch went to where it was, you could see where it was headed, and you could like almost see his eyes light up like it was Christmas morning or something. Like he, the second he started to put a swing on it, it was like, that ball is way gone.
109 miles per hour, I believe, off the bat. In other news, the Cody Beer Bat account has sent the tweet.
Okay.
And says that the season average is 10.43 seconds.
10.43, but that has the account made a decision on what we should count as a quality chug?
No, has
that
not,
hasn't happened.
Hasn't done that yet. But
now remember, a quality start is a nice start. Like Wicks had a nice start today. You don't have to be throwing a shutout to get a quality start. So I don't think it should have to be under 10.
Right.
Under 12 is still quality, is it not? Under 11? You think 10 is?
Sorry, I missed it. Under 11, what?
He's seconds for the beer bat chug. What should be a quality chug?
Oh, yeah, I think under 11.
Like, a quality start is nice, but it's not a no-hitter.
I'd say under 11. He I like
or
that.
Under 11.
He or she who runs this account says the chug is only the third chug above 10.50 seconds this year, which is outstanding. So, I mean, maybe that's telling. I don't know.
James Kolstock says under 10. Sub 10, low foam. Quality chug.
Cody needs to go to Iowa to work on his chug. Godfather is sending me to AAA.
Oh, by the way, I saw Godmother Barb saying she wasn't feeling well. Hope she feels better. And
we hope
that
better, Godmother.
Godfather Michael Collada is on the road to recovery, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's doing well enough to watch this mess that we
credit
do every night,
both,
you know?
Yeah. Did we read our Super Chats?
Have not. We got two of them.
EZE 134. What a great day. Birthday present from the Cubs to me. Great W. I hope Belly is okay. Love you guys.
Happy birthday, EZE.
Happy birthday, EZE. And then Sir Silent of the Fogs, a diehard. He, in the Discord, I believe he goes by Coop Troop, says Cubs It helps soften the blow of losing Cooper.
Yeah, what happens to the Coop Troop now?
Yeah.
Pour one out for Gary Cooper.
Yeah. My favorite part of the Garrett Cooper era is the home run he hit against the Rockies like 2 weeks ago.
So tomorrow, game two of the series, Jameson Taillon back on the bump.
All right.
We just expected more out of Wicks tonight. Mm-hmm. Got exactly what we were asking for. Will Taillon continue? I thought it was a nice start his first time out.
It was.
Trend continue? I hope so.
And he could have gone six, too, if they were willing to push the pitch count. And they weren't.
And I mean, I know he's highly paid, yada, yada, and you want all these things. I'm just saying, for a guy who hadn't started the season with the team, that was as good as expected. Right. Now, I hope it's even better. I hope we get a Wicks-like start.
Right. And it helped that he faced the Marlins. It was a good spot to put him in there, right? Now he's going to go up against a better offense tomorrow. Hopefully the wind isn't blowing out against him. But... yeah, I mean, I felt like we saw a lot of second half Jameson Taillon in that game against the Marlins once I went back and watched some of the highlights after the game Friday. And, you know, he was commanding his pitch as well. He's dotting the edges, corners, all that stuff. And I just felt like the stuff was there. So, you know, I feel pretty good about him. And the fact that this Astros offense didn't do much against lefties whenever they hit well against lefties, I don't know. I feel like the Cubs are getting the Astros at the perfect time right now. They just look really disinterested out there. I don't know about you. Maybe this is just me looking like a meatball fan right now, but they just looked very disinterested in that game.
Yeah, lethargic.
Yeah.
Yeah, tend to agree. Maybe they're missing Dusty.
Like, they were swinging.
Toothpick.
They kind of had the Cubs on the ropes there when it was 5-2, And they come
wristbands.
Out. They come out of. They get the Cubs to get. Not score any runs one inning, and they come back out. And I remember the first batter that came up that next inning, swinging first pitch, hits a ground ball to Swanson. You know, like little things like that. It's like you kind of have us on the ropes right now. Like maybe working it back. I don't know. Maybe that's again. Maybe it's meatballish of me to say, but I just felt like they just didn't look very interested in playing baseball tonight. And that's what it always looks like whenever you're not playing well. And that's why I say, you know, maybe right now the Cubs are just getting the Astros at the right time.
I mean, I don't care what the reason is. Take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's I right? agree.
They could turn out to be a bad baseball team. I'd be surprised.
Especially with Verlander going on Wednesday.
It's a good opportunity tomorrow night.
Yeah.
To get a series win.
I feel like tomorrow is must win because it's a toss-up on Wednesday if the Astros win tomorrow instead. Going up against Verlander, I think it's a sod on Wednesday, and you know, you need the offense. I think the reason that Wicks was able to, go deeper in the game tonight is because, yeah, he got through the first 0-0, but after the first inning, it was 2-0, or no, 5-0. I mean, and so you get a 5-0 lead, and it's like you can just go out there, throw strikes, work on what you need to work on, all this stuff. I'm not saying the Cubs need to score 5 runs in the first inning of every game. However, that would be awesome. But if you can get on the board early, score first, that helps a lot of these young pitchers, man. Tyone is a veteran, though, so I expect him to be, efficient and, be able to eat innings like he has throughout most of his career. So it's a little bit different tomorrow in terms of Tyone, but that also is a reason why I feel like the Cubs need to win tomorrow. So.
Credit to the Astros starter who gave up 5 runs. I thought he was going to be out of the game potentially before the end of the first inning, and he ended up kind of saving their bullpen.
Yeah. He would have been if he would have given up more runs in the second. The Cubs just bailed him out.
They did. And by the way, talking about Tyone just a few minutes ago, remember when Tommy Hotovy in the offseason talked to us about how Tyone was trying to find – what was wrong with his fastball and make corrections throughout the season. He said, you have no idea how hard it is to try and make those adjustments while you're also trying to get ready for starting every 5 days. It's just not as easy as saying I can make those corrections throughout a season, even for a veteran pitcher. And it's one of the things that concerns me more about Alzolay than it does about trying to get Hendricks to be productive at some point for the rotation. Because, A, I'm expecting Hendricks to be the fifth starter, and the stuff is still there, and it's a guy who's built his whole career around trying to find the right arm slot and the mechanics and the sequencing, all of that. Alzolay, if there's something slightly off, could be more difficult. But I don't know if – listen – he may not, and I know what Godfather and some people are going to say, he's not your closer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if he's not your closer, you still need him to be a productive reliever.
Yeah, absolutely. The bullpen is better with Alzolay in it, undoubtedly. So, the good thing about Alzolay is that it's not like it's not so bad to where they're going to put him on the injured list. We can sit here and debate whether, it's a phantom IL or not with Hendricks, right? I think with, it was, like I said, on Sunday, it was a positive step for Alzolay to come in there and give him a clean inning in the eighth, even though they were down 3 runs. So hopefully, one or two more of those types of appearances. Hell, I kind of wish they would have put him in there tonight, up 5 runs, but it is what it is. Just, it's one of those things. Like, they did the same thing with Michael Fulmer last year.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a very serviceable reliever for them down the stretch until he got hurt in September. So that's kind of how I view it with him. And they did the same thing with Merriweather, who struggled in April last year, and then he was, like, their best reliever down the stretch. Right? So I think you gotta do that with Alzolay now, and then I think he can get back to where we've seen him. I'm not saying you put him back as a closer. I'm just saying that he can be an effective reliever for you. I would love for him to maybe get back to that level that we saw last year, but I'm not so sure the Cubs are wanting to do that either. So,
One thing I wanted to quick bring up, I saw a couple people in the chat saying, move lighter to closer. No,
I don't want to do that either. I like him being productive where he's at.
I think if that game would have been close tonight, based off what we saw, I think it would have been Neres.
Leiter's role in coming in messy innings and cleaning things up, he's the only guy in that bullpen that can do that. I do not want him as a closer right now. He's far too important in his role anyway.
Yeah. Sure.
We'll see where it goes. Hey, I heard the special noise.
He's here.
Ryan Herrera joining us from beautiful historic Wrigley Field and up in the scenic press box.
The chat will call it the bathroom.
And as Barb likes to call it, the stall.
Yeah.
Busy day, Ryan. First of all, I guess on the injury front, what can you tell us outside of just the statement that we've seen about Kyle Hendricks and then also about Cody Bellinger post game?
Well, so for Kyle Hendricks, it was like a lower back strain is how they phrased it. He felt it, I guess, a little bit during his bullpen before Sunday's outing. Then it just crept up a little bit more throughout the game. Then after the game is when he reported it, and they put him on the IL obviously today. Phantom IL or not, he's on the IL. Like that's what the move right. they made. And at least for now, it's 15 days on the IL. I know Craig Council was asked pregame, are they sending him out to Arizona? Like, what is kind of the next step for him? And at least for now, in the short term, it's going to be he's just going to stick around with the team. I don't work with the pitching coaches, whatever. And then maybe he goes out to Arizona. We'll see. But, at least 15 days on the shelf or a 15-day break for Kyle. I've seen plenty of people saying it was a Phantom IL, and it may very well be. But from what we were told, this is the information we were given from Craig Council. So, that's what we are going with. As far as Cody Bellinger, obviously you saw him run with the – I forgot what inning it was, but running into the wall – in the outfield trying to catch a ball. And he said that it was kind of a dull pain. Like, it wasn't too bad, and kind of downplayed it a little bit, but said that as the game went on, it just felt a little bit more and more. Sounds more like a precautionary thing for him. It was a right rib contusion was, again, how they phrased it. Sounds a little bit more like a precautionary thing. The x-rays were negative. They're going to kind of hold on any – no rushing to any IL placements or whatever. Definitely going to wait and see how he feels in the morning. But that he said, downplayed it. He's in good spirits. Said hopefully he feels good in the morning and that he's already, it's a dull pain, so it's not something excruciating or anything like that, but that thought it was a smart decision to come out of the game and kind of get earlier rest on it before making anything worse.
What did Council talk at all about Mike Tauchman and kind of what he's meant for this team this season? I said he's been the best fourth outfielder in baseball. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but you find me one that's been playing better than he has.
Well, not specifically about what Mike Tauchman meant to this team. He didn't talk about it today, but he did mention that. Him and Tauchman were having a conversation a little bit before the game, and that Tauchman was telling him, my best power comes hitting opposite field here. And, talking to Tauchman after the game as well, just talking about some of the wins that you get right here. Sometimes it's hard for lefties to pull balls and hit home runs just based on the way the wind plays here sometimes. So, you saw it. I think it's his second career multi-homer game. Both of them to the opposite field, one in the basket, one in the left center bleachers. They talked about it pregame, him and Craig Council, and it comes true. He keeps to his word that if he can get some power up, he'll hit some home runs. As far as to what he means to the team, it's pretty obvious. It was pretty obvious what he meant last year when Cody Bellinger went down and he came up and filled in admirably for, a guy that was without that injury could very well have been an all-star last season in Cody Bellinger. So filled in pretty admirably that last year, comes back this year as the fourth outfielder. And, is a guy that you feel comfortable having out there whenever anyone needs a day or anyone's on the IL or whatever it is. Like, you feel pretty comfortable with Mike Tauchman out there. And, like, obviously the power showed today. He raised his, like, slugging percentage up. I don't remember exactly how much it was today, but it was a good amount, right, based on the two home runs. But you're just continuing to see good at-bats from him. I mean, he's playing steady defense, right? Like, he's making the plays out there that you need him to make. And he's just showing a great approach to the plate like he did last year. That was how he had so much success last year. And, you know, it's there again. And if we're looking at your fourth outfielder, that's what you need, right? When, you know, say a Suzuki hits the IL and is going to miss 4 weeks, or Cody Bellinger may need a couple days, if not go on the IL because of a right rib contusion. Like, you need your fourth outfielder to – you need to feel confident in your fourth outfielder to be able to step in and fill in admirably. And I think we look at it as, like, Mike Tauchman can do that. Mike Tauchman's – over the last year now almost, he's been that guy for the Cubs and filling in when he has to and doing well at it.
Your old pal – Chris Kampka tweeted Mike Tauchman the first Cubs player born in the Chicagoland area to hit two homers in a game at Wrigley Field since
Dave Kingman. Oh. Okay, who was it?
Since Phil Cavaretta.
Okay.
August 30th, 1936. Game two of a doubleheader.
Wait a minute.
Where were you?
What's the stat?
The first Chicagoland area born Cubs player to hit two homers in a game at Wrigley Field.
Okay, well, then Kingman must not have been born. I don't know where Dave Kingman was born, but Dave Kingman is from the mid-suburban league, my friends, and definitely hit two home runs in a game because I know he hit three home runs in a game.
Yeah.
But I don't doubt the stat cruncher, Chris Kampka. That means Dave Kingman was not born in Chicagoland area.
Yeah.
Cody said he moved
there. He moved there.
1936, yes.
Yeah.
That was when Stuck was like a little small kid.
I was not there.
Oh. I thought maybe you're
Google Dave Kingman. Where was he born?
Anyway.
This would be shocking if the cruncher, Chris Kampka, was wrong about something. Never.
I hope he's right.
He's right. Kingman had to be born somewhere else.
David Arthur Kingman, born 1948 in Pendleton, Oregon.
There it is. That's why the cruncher's the best. He finds the little detail that he can pull out of it. Mm-hmm. And somebody like me is going to say, well, Dave Kingman,
yeah,
I know he went to prospect. Uh-huh. There you go. There's the reason.
Ryan, were you able to talk to Mervis at all? I know Wesneski had this crazy story on his comeback. Was there anything like that for Mervis, or, you know, how's he feeling, you know, getting his second chance?
Yeah, I know we got to talk to Mervis pregame, and that was a lot about, you know, him talking about what he's learned since that first cup of coffee he got last year in May, coming up to the Cubs and not having the results that he wanted. And part of that was, like, he discussed the mental side of it and, like, you know, obviously, like, not being too hard on yourself and being able to, like, flush things and you know, when results aren't going your way, continue with the process, like, don't, you know, swing at the right pitch, like, all the stuff that you hear, especially young guys talk about after their first foray into Major League Baseball. He's excited for the opportunity. He feels like his swing is in the right place, mechanics are in the right place. You see it in the numbers down in AAA right now, and you know, he's getting another opportunity. I don't think he got a hit today, but obviously he's on this team right now. Craig Counsell talked about at least one reason why you know, they decided to make the move from Garrett Cooper and then bring up Mervis. Part of it was you know, obviously the wisdom, Garrett Cooper, a little bit of redundancy or a little bit of a similar player. As far as profile goes, but the fact that they're going to face a lot of righties coming up, especially in this next stretch of games, and they want to have more balance with the lefties and righties on the bench. So for Mervis, like, that's his opportunity, right? If there's going to be a lot of righties coming up and pitching against the Cubs, then there's going to be a lot of opportunities for left-handed hitters. So, he's feels like he's in a good place with the swing, with the mentals, and you know, this is a second opportunity. We didn't see the success that we wanted to see last year, but he gets it again this year, and I guess we'll see where it goes, but I'm sure he feels confident and very excited to have this opportunity.
Any other quick nuggets before we let you go? Because you'll be back at the ballpark again tomorrow.
Yeah, Cody Bellinger said we should check on the wall, the brick wall and the outfield.
Yeah, that's a bad joke. Even a dad knows that's a bad joke. It's a bad joke.
I thought it was funny. You're such a hater with jokes these days. Like you didn't like.
Well,
like
I mean,
joke.
You did like a your mama joke.
It was Joe mama.
Come on. You didn't. The one you had yesterday. I don't remember what it was because my memory doesn't go back that far. But it was better yesterday.
You could just say Rounders. When talking about Luke, you can just say you're a hater because you love to hate.
I don't love to hate. It was a sus joke. Let's.
Oh, speaking of that bit or that joke, I learned, and this, like, I can't believe I'm saying this live on YouTube right now.
You didn't know it but was charismatic.
Yeah, it's charisma.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I just thought it was
That's
like
why
a.
That's why I said bring your riz.
Yeah.
Bring your charisma.
I didn't know that. Because I'm a millennial, not some Gen Zer on TikTok. Even riz. I am on TikTok, but, you know.
Listen, what I said on Twitter is the truth.
Charm wasn't too far off, though.
No.
I said charm, and it was
charm. Yeah, it's same thing. Charisma, charm.
Yeah, it's fine. I am openly admitting that I had no idea what it meant. I just knew it had to do with having some sort of, you know, thing that made you stick out to people.
I don't bring the riz. I am the riz. Okay. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it. Who you got real quick? Ryan wins, even though his guy had a rough day in the field and got hurt.
My guy made it on base twice.
You did, but that homer was crushed. Everybody else had just a meh. It was nice to see Hap's first at bat.
Yeah, Morrell.
That was nice to see. Mervis didn't do anything.
Brendan has to take Morrell again tomorrow because Morrell walked twice tomorrow.
Two or three games in a row now, I think.
Anyway.
I think maybe tomorrow I'll try and add some up. Corey's supposed to be in studio, and we'll try to figure out. The last time we actually kept score was April 4th.
Yeah.
So we got to figure some out. We got to go back and add some up.
That was 3 weeks ago. Yeah, that's a lot of baseball.
You got to go all the way back in the Slack channel.
Sean Caselli, who didn't love the Bee Gees? I don't know. Come on.
Anyway.
Anyways, Cubs win 7-2. Ryan will be back at the ballpark tomorrow. We'll be back here for the post-game show after the tie-on start.
One last thing.
Yeah.
The chat says that Corey was on Marquee for whatever reason. I'm assuming.
His tweets were on Marquee.
His tweets were on Marquee. So shout out to Marquee for pushing our brand, I guess.
Thanks.
Pushing great tweets because Corey sends the best tweets of anyone in this podcast. So big of me to say.
Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast. Back at it tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Hit the like button on the way out.
After the game, Barb. After the game.
We're live.
Okay.
Don't forget, fly the W.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.